John chapter 9, verse 1. Stand with me, please, as I begin reading here. And as Jesus passed by, I'll tell you what, when Jesus passes by, things change.
Amen.
Things change. As he passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Excuse me. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Let's calm our hearts, close our eyes, and let's bow for prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, it is such a tremendous power that Your Word still has today. God, how it stirs my heart. I cannot speak for anyone else, except, Lord, I see the results in their lives. And God, I pray this morning that the children would sit still, that the nursery would be calm, that Your Holy Spirit would have liberty here this morning. Bless, please, save those that are lost. God, I feel in my heart, I don't know, God, but I'm pressed in my spirit, Lord, that there's just someone here today who is not saved. I pray, God, please, that You would open up their hearts and convict them of sin. Turn them to Christ, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated this morning. Tremendous time of history, in my estimation, would be, yes, there's lots of things that have happened in history, but the greatest 33 and a half years of history would be the life of our Savior. Physically manifest in the flesh, walking the face of the earth, walking the streets, the mountains and the hills of His nation, Israel and Galilee and throughout Nazareth and Jerusalem and Bethlehem and Judea and all of that portion of the world where I've never been yet. I talked to Brother Way, our missionary, to Israel. He and his wife are going back on Tuesday, and I get to take them to the airport. That's as close as I'm getting to Israel, though. But I'm having a part in it. Amen. And it as I was preaching on Wednesday night this past Wednesday night on the kingdom of God and how it's going to come to the earth and Jesus is going to rule and reign from Jerusalem, I guess it should have dawned on me before then, but it finally dawned on me, the knucklehead that I am, that I am going to get to go to Israel sooner or later. Physically go to Israel. Not the heavenly Israel, but the earthly, literal Israel. I will get to go. It'll be a lot different then. But as history goes, as I believe in my heart and my mind, and I love to just read about Jesus and His life on the earth. And as Jesus passed by, such a tremendous phrase in John chapter 9, verse 1. A tremendous phrase meaning that you just know in your heart that something is about to happen.
Yeah.
Something miraculous is about to take place. Because Jesus is coming on the scene, amen. I hope you remember the day And I hope you don't let the day get old, if you have a day, that when Jesus passed by your house, when Jesus passed by your heart, when Jesus passed by your life, and something miraculous took place where you accepted and understood that He was your only hope for salvation, and that by His blood you could be cleansed from all sin and all unrighteousness. Boy, when Jesus passes by, it's a day to remember. Amen. Amen. Things change. Of course, unfortunately, in verse 2, they saw this man, Jesus and his disciples, blind from his birth. And in verse 2, unfortunately, his disciples were simply looking at and thinking about the wrong thing. Can I say something to you, church? We are the same way. We struggle with the same problems of self-righteousness and always wondering about why that person is like that instead of realizing that we were no different before Christ. Self-righteousness and pride, church, listen to me, kills your joy. Kills your fellowship with Christ. Kills your effectiveness as a witness. You won't be a witness. If you try, you're wasting your time because you're full of pride. And you're looking at people as if you're better than they are. These disciples said, "Who sinned, Jesus? Huh, I wonder who sinned to make that man like that. His mother? Well, see, or his, maybe him." And they're looking at the wrong thing. Instead of seeing a soul who needs to be saved, instead of seeing a hurting person who needs help, they're just wondering about, huh, I wonder what he did wrong. I wonder what made him like that. Well, don't sit there either and think and try to fool me like you haven't ever thought that. We all have.
Amen.
But Jesus answered. Boy, isn't it a blessing when Christ answers our silly questions, our ridiculous self-righteous questions. Jesus answered and says, listen, hey, hush, hush. It's not a sin problem. This man hasn't sinned. It's not because he did something wrong. It's that God is going to do something miraculous here. We've all sinned. Jesus is basically telling them, we've all sinned. It's not about what he's done compared to what you've done. It's all sin. It's all sin. It's all sin. And it requires salvation. And Jesus said, this man, it's not about what he's done, disciples. It's not about what he's done compared to what you've done. It's about the fact that God is going to manifest himself here today in this man's life.
Amen. Amen.
I don't know what you've done. I know what I've done. And I have no right to sit in judgment and cast judgment and criticize you for your sin. Because somewhere along the way, I could have, if I haven't already, participated in the exact same thing. I wish I could tell you that I had a perfect life. I didn't have a perfect life. Nobody has. Except for Christ.
Amen.
Except for Jesus. And yet the man who never sinned was also the man who was never self-righteous. Perfect. He saw this man and his disciples were worrying about what caused him to be like this. And they're trying to think, well, I'm glad I'm not that bad and those kind of things. And Jesus says, wait a minute, men, hush your mouth. Stop, change the way you're thinking here and realize that God wants to do something special today. He says in verse 4, interestingly enough, he says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. I must work the works of him that sent me. I must do the will of God.
Amen.
You, listen to me, Christian, if you're going to be like Christ, you're going to have the same attitude. I must do what God sent me to do. I must do the will of God today. I must do the will of God today because it may be too late tomorrow.
Right.
He says, I must do the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. I'm not going to preach on the night cometh But that's a reference to death, to the end of your life, physically speaking. The reference to the fact that the end of all of creation as we know it, as far as earth, and we're going to be taken out of this world, and everyone who has not received Jesus Christ is going to be too late. The night cometh where darkness is going to fall on them, and forever they're going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth in a lake of fire. And so the Bible says, Jesus said, listen to me, men, stop worrying about how sinful he is. Stop worrying about how self-righteous you are, and realize there's work to be done.
Amen.
People are going to hell. He says in verse 5, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And then he did a miraculous, weird, strange miracle, something he'd never done before. He spit on the ground, he made clay, he put it on the man's eyes, and he went and washed, and he was cleaned. But here's what the message is today. Verse 8 and following, I don't have time to read the whole chapter. But people, like we said in Sunday school, and this is very closely related to Sunday school, people began to notice the neighbors in verse 8, therefore, they which had before had seen him that was blind, said, is not this the one that sat and begged? And some said, this is he. Others said, he's like him, but he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? And he answered and said, a man that's called Jesus made clay, anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. And they said unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. So neighbors began to question him. They brought to the Pharisees in verse 13, this same man, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus did this. And then the Pharisees began to ask him, and he said, he put clay upon my eyes in verse 15, I washed it, and now I do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God. He keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that's a sinner do such miracles? And there was division among them. The neighbors were asking, and he told them, Jesus put some clay on my eyes, and I went and I received sight. The Pharisees asked him, he said the same thing. He put clay on my eyes, I washed, and I do see. And they say unto the blind man again in verse 17, what sayest thou of him? He opened thine eyes. He said, he's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him. He had been blind and received his sight. And then they asked his parents. They called his parents in verse 18, the end of the verse, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, is this your son, who you say is born blind? How then doth he now see? So we got the neighbors involved asking this man. We got Pharisees involved asking this man. Then they call in his parents. His parents answer him, saying, verse 20, we know that this is our son. We know that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Listen, because why? Because it wasn't their testimony, it was his. Now stay with me today. I just want to preach briefly on this simple fact. The personal testimony of your salvation. The personal testimony of your salvation. His parents said, this is our son, yes. We know he was blind, but as far as how he got saved, we don't know. As far as who opened his eyes, we don't know. In verse 21, he's of age. Ask him. No, sir. Then his parents turned to him and said, or told him, this is our son. He'll speak for himself. Verse 22, they feared the Jews, of course. They were afraid. They weren't saved. They were afraid. They hadn't been touched by Jesus. And therefore, in verse 23, they said, ask him. Then again, they called the man blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know this man's a sinner. Verse 25, this is what I'm getting to. Listen to me. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know. One thing I know. That whereas I was blind, now I see. The personal testimony of your salvation, listen to me. It needs to be an understanding of a knowledge of salvation. You need to know true salvation. You need to understand. I just want to look at this testimony for a few minutes this morning. It was a very simple testimony.
Amen.
He wasn't trying to give anybody a theological discourse on the five basic essentials of the doctrine of salvation. He was giving a simple testimony of the fact that I don't know everything about Jesus. I don't know everything about the Bible. I don't know everything about religion. I don't know everything about church or doctrines or creeds. But this one thing I know, that I was blind, but now I see.
Amen.
Folks, we get caught up way too often in, we all do, in trying and being afraid to be a personal testimony, to be a witness, being afraid of telling other people about Jesus because we don't know what we're going to say when they ask us the hard questions. You don't have to worry about that. Just say, I don't know about why this is in the Bible and why that's not in the Bible. I don't know about why there's so many this and so many that. I don't know. This one thing I do know is that I was lost, but now I am found. Amen. I was blind, but now I see. Amen. I was going to hell, but now I'm going to heaven. I was a sinner. Now I'm saved by the grace of God. It's a very simple testimony. You don't need to worry about how much they know. You don't even need to worry about how much you know.
Amen.
You need to tell them what God has done for you.
Amen.
It's a very simple testimony. It's a very logical testimony, really. It just makes sense. God has changed everything about me.
Amen.
I was born blind. I was born. I had no interest in anything about God or the Bible or religion, except for maybe just a little bit of curiosity. But I was born in a darkness that I couldn't see the light. I couldn't see the truth. I was born blind. And logically speaking, I was not happy. I knew that there was people out there. I could hear them. I knew that there was laughter out there. I could hear it. I knew that there was families out there. I could hear them. I could talk with them and hear them. But I was not happy. I was miserable because I was blind. And now, logically speaking, I can see. My eyes are open. Everything is different now. Everything is different now. It's very logical. It's very easy to understand. I was blind. I was miserable. I would sit in services at church sometimes, and the Lord would speak to my heart and tell me that I needed to get saved. But yet, I was blind. I was blind. I didn't want to hear that. I just wanted to go for the snacks or for the friends or for the fun or just to be there and just to get out of the house. I just wanted to be there because somebody else was there, because my family was there. I was blind, though. I was miserable. I knew I couldn't see. I knew I wasn't saved. And logically speaking, I knew that everything was dark. But in my heart, Jesus came along, and now I can see. And I don't really know who He is. I don't really know everything about the Bible. But everything has changed in my life, and I know it.
Amen.
Even a child can understand that. The most educated PhD can understand that. It's very logical. Very simple. The testimony of your salvation. Hey, listen. This was a very genuine testimony. He wasn't trying to impress anybody. He wasn't afraid of telling the truth. Are you listening to me this morning? He wasn't afraid of telling the truth. He wasn't afraid of what they were going to think or do. So there was no sense in him trying to make up some story. He just genuinely, from the bottom of his heart, with all the sincerity that he had, just told them the truth.
Amen.
This is a very genuine testimony. Stop trying to impress people. The Lord began to use this man and this testimony in my heart not too long ago, and I always give people tracts at the checkout counter when you check out or buy something, go to the store or restaurant, waitress or the whatever you do. You always give out tracts and invite people to come to church. I mean, always. You should always do that, no matter where you're at. You should always do that. Always. But it dawned on me, God used this scripture not too long ago. It began to dawn on me, why not just tell them a little bit about what Jesus has done for me? And I started doing that somewhat. It's still not natural. I'm still used. I'm in a kind of a rut, if you will. But I'm praying that God will give me more liberty and I'll be more genuine and just sincere. Listen, I want you to come to church. But more than that, I want you to understand that Jesus saved my soul, that all my sins are forgiven, that I'm going to heaven, and I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want you to live in darkness. I don't want you to live in blindness. I want you to be saved. I want you to be forgiven just like I was. God's changed my life. You say, can you get all that in? Why not?
Amen.
Let them wait.
Amen. That's right.
Or talk fast.
Amen.
But you can at least say something about the blood of Jesus has cleansed my heart from all sin. And listen, I don't want your religion to fool you into thinking that you're okay. I want you to know that just because Jesus died for my sin, was buried and rose again by faith, I repent. I'm saved today. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I turned from sin and wickedness to Jesus. I'm saved today. I'm not trying to impress you. I'm not trying to make you think that I'm somebody. I want you to understand that I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody. I'm a baby. Beggar, telling another beggar where to find the bread.
Amen. That's right.
That's all I am.
Amen.
Jesus passed by. Jesus passed by. And this man's life was never the same.
Amen.
And he didn't change his testimony from the neighbors,
right,
to the Pharisees, to the parents, to the friends. His testimony was simple. It was very practical. It was logical. It was sincere. It was genuine. It was just what Jesus had done for him. That's all that your testimony is. That's all that it needs to be. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't over theorize it. Just keep it fresh in your heart and tell the world about what Jesus has done for you. My fear is this, dear neighbor. Jesus hasn't done anything for you. And you don't have a testimony. See, if I went into that store and I said, you know what? On May 13, 2004, I went forward to the altar and I knelt and I prayed. No. That's not what happened. I was forgiven. I was cleansed. I was saved. I'm forever, eternally secure. I'm going to heaven now. I never have to burn in the lake of fire. See, those are reality, logical, practical examples. And when I went to the altar and I prayed a prayer, whoop-dee, I've done that too, but never done anything for me. Our testimony just needs to be simply what God has done for us.
Amen.
This testimony had perfect timing. See, the Pharisees were trying to condemn Jesus because it was a Sabbath day. Have you ever noticed how it seems like all of his miracles were done on the Sabbath day? No. That's just the ones that are recorded in the scripture. He went about daily, healing and helping and preaching the gospel, teaching in the synagogues, daily, all around town, all over the place, all over the cities and villages, daily. But the ones recorded in the scripture on the Sabbath day, why is that, preacher? Because God's trying to tell us something. that it ain't about upholding a tradition of religion. It's about knowing a Savior.
Amen.
I've talked with so many people, and they want to argue about the Sabbath day and why we have church on Sunday. And yet their lives are full of nothing but sin, doubt, fears, and religion. Yet you and me understand, every day is God's day. Every day is the Lord's day. If I got saved on a Tuesday, so what? Glory to God, I'm saved. Amen. It ain't got nothing to do with the Sabbath or this day or that day. It's Jesus we're talking about.
Amen.
See, they were just trying to find something wrong. And he didn't try to explain to them, well, I don't know about the Sabbath day, dear friends. He said, look, Jesus Christ saved my soul. He changed my life. I was in darkness. Now I can see.
Amen.
Pretty powerful testimony too. So simple, it was powerful. So simple, it was powerful. These were very religious men, the Pharisees. They were very well studied in their understanding of Scripture. They thought they were anyway. And they could not argue with what he said because they knew that he was blind.
Yeah.
So it was so powerful, they had nothing to say. Now listen, this kind of testimony is real effective with your closest friends and family who knew you before you were saved. They knew where you used to go and how you used to talk and the things you used to listen to and watch. But now, you don't go there anymore. The things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. The things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. Things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. Been a great change since I've been born again.
Amen. That's right.
The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Yeah. Things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. It's been a great change since I've been born again.
Amen.
How about you? Do you have a testimony like that with your friends? Your family? And I'm not talking about just doing it so you can have a testimony that's fake and it won't last and it won't impress anybody, because sooner or later you'll slip up. I'm talking about, does Jesus control the things you used to say? Does Jesus give you new things to say? Has the Holy Spirit of God given you new places to go, like church, even on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights? Does the Holy Spirit of God change the way the places your feet used to take you? Has God changed you? Do you have a testimony?
Amen.
And if so, don't worry about not being impressive. Don't worry about not being what everybody else's is. Just make it yours and tell people about it.
Amen.
Let them see it. Let them see the tears. Let them see the joy. Let them hear the words of Jesus Christ flowing from your lips, not as a cuss word,
Amen.
But as a Savior.
Amen.
Let them see the joy in your home. Let them see a happy marriage. Let them see. Let your neighbors know, well, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, no sense in going over there. They're not going to be home.
Amen.
You say, that's old-fashioned. Why is it old-fashioned? Why? Why do we think now we're just going to relegate Jesus to Sunday morning? What is that all about? Why is that? That's not old-fashioned. That's truth, amen? Don't let the world change what we know to be right. Just keep your testimony like it is. Let God change you and don't be ashamed of it, amen?
Yeah.
Tell people about it and let Him change you and live your life accordingly.
Amen.
It's very practical. I was blind, now I see. And you know what? I'm not afraid to tell you.
Amen.
Cut my tongue out, I don't care. I'll sign it to you. I'll write it down. Cut my throat, that's okay. I'll die with a smile on my face.
Amen.
I'll go to heaven and you'll still be lost.
Come on, preacher.
See, he didn't try to impress these people. Children, are you saved this morning?
Yes.
Don't try to impress your friends. Just tell them. Jesus saved me. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. And I'm not ashamed of him. I'm proud to be a Christian. I'm proud to be a part of the family of God. I'm proud to have Jesus as my Savior and God as my Father.
Amen.
So powerful. So simple. It's powerful. You can't argue with it. Well, they tried, but they couldn't argue with the fact that he was different. I'm done this morning. I want you to see something here. It was very simple, logical, very practical. It was very sincere, genuine. At the perfect time, right when they were trying to figure out Sabbath, this and Sabbath, that didn't matter. But here's, I close with this. It was powerful, I said, but it was piercing. What do I mean by that? Because they couldn't understand it. They couldn't understand it. Because they were still blind. They couldn't understand it because they were still spiritually blind. Some of you, I'm telling you what, this morning, I'm not God, obviously. I don't have the power to look inside and see your salvation or not. But I do have the ability to see the fruit that grows or should grow on a saved person's tree. You should be singing in church.
Amen.
You should be faithful to church every time we're here. Do you have a personal testimony? Do you have a changed life? Do you remember when you were blind and God made you see?
Amen.
If not, you're not saved. You're not saved. The man didn't say, I got baptized. He didn't say that. He didn't say, I've been in church my whole life. I hear that all the time. He didn't say that.
Amen.
He didn't say that. He didn't say, I read my Bible all the time. He didn't say that.
Amen.
But I guarantee you now, he's going to read his Bible all the time. I guarantee you now, he's going to be in church. I guarantee you now, he's going to be praising God like we talked about. I guarantee you now, the changes are there. It's so simple. It's so logical. It's so powerful because it's piercing because those people don't have that testimony.
Amen.
The Pharisees are looking at him and saying, I've been in church my whole life. I've been studying the Bible my whole life. And I don't have that testimony. Matter of fact, I go to every church I can. Whoever's serving me the best snack. I don't have that testimony. It's piercing because it's so simple. It's piercing because they don't have one. Someone in here needs to get saved today.
Amen.
At least one person.
Amen.
You don't have this testimony. You can't say this. I sat in church for so long. Me. So long. I grew up in church. From the day, as far back as I can remember, I was in church. But do you understand something? I didn't have this testimony. I didn't have it. Do you? Does this man's testimony bother you? If it bothers you, it's because you don't have one. Listen, you know you're saved when you get saved.
Amen.
You know you're saved when you get saved.
Amen.
Because you're going from darkness to light, from blindness to sight. You know you're saved.
Amen.
Oh, his sight got old after a few years. You know, he got used to seeing, but he never forgot the fact that he used to be blind.
That's right.
He never forgot the fact that he used to not be able to see. Maybe it got old once in a while, but as soon as he got back in the Bible and in right with God, he realized, oh, thank God. I remember the days of darkness. I remember the days of agony and misery and fear. I remember those days. Thank God I know I can see now. Sadly, some of the Pharisees still didn't believe him. They still didn't care. They just wanted to crucify Jesus. They just wanted to crucify him. I'm afraid some of you are still going to walk out of here today. I can't do anything about it. I can't do anything about it. He gave them the testimony. Verse 26, then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? See, they didn't even listen to him. He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? They reviled him and said, thou art his disciple. We're Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. They just went on and on and on with their excuses. And folks, listen to me. One day they woke up in hell. They woke up in hell. And they remembered this testimony. Wake up.
Amen.
One day, they woke up in hell, and they remembered this blind man's testimony. So simple, so short, so basic, but so powerful, so piercing, because it was a personal testimony of a changed life that they did not have. How about you? Do you remember when you were blind? Or are you still blind? Do you remember when God opened your eyes so you could see? Well, I don't remember the exact date and time, preacher. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, do you remember the change that took place? There's been a great change since I've been born again. I'm not talking about a prayer. If you came down to an altar, said a prayer, got up and left the same, you didn't get... You didn't get it. Quit lying to yourself. Salvation changes your life.
Amen.
Bow your heads. Bow your heads. Close your eyes.